Good evening.
And you may be seated, please. I almost wish I could
get closer unto you.
If you open in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 9.
I said I was going to
bring this message today, but I brought something different unto the children from the book of Numbers at the pastor's school and church. What we talked about there was sin and righteousness and redemption. When the Holy Spirit comes, He convinces us of those three things, according to John chapter 16. Our sin is our utter shame, and our inability to help ourselves. Our righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that He has gone unto the Father, He obeyed God, He has been resurrected from the dead. And our redemption, our power over sin, is the Lord Jesus Christ sends the power of His Spirit to everyone who believes in Him. And so the prince of this world is cast out. His kingdom is broken. His dominion is broken. And we are delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ into holiness, into contentment, into joy, and into love. This is the gospel that I brought this morning, but it is the gospel that the Holy Spirit convinces us of over and over. And here in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 9, I would like to lead us in prayer, and then I want to preach from verse number 12 through 15. So let us pray to God together. I feel a special need of His blessing, of His presence, and His Holy Spirit. Our Father God, as we approach Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that name that is above every name, the matchless name, the one name by which You hear us. Hear us, our Father, for Jesus Christ's sake. Hear our prayer and hear our petition for power, for strength, for joy, for love, for might, for the ability to preach Your gospel and the ability to hear. Make us to worship You for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Cause us to see, and Father, make us understand. Open our eyes from the darkness. Take off the bondage of false religion. And let us enter into incorruptibility in Your gospel. Let us experience Your presence. Let it be a mighty shout proclaimed here of the gospel of Your glory. And may the world be encouraged, our Father, by the good things that You do here for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Our Father, keep our eyes on Christ as we are preaching and as we are hearing. For his name's sake, amen. The book of Hebrews in chapter number 9. I want to bring a message on eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. I want to talk about what it means to be purged from our sin. And I want to know and proclaim the true blessings of the spiritual kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Clark was asking me on the way here what I thought about the things I've seen thus far as I come up north out of Lagos and the southern region. I said it's not as bad as it is in Lagos, but people still, by and large, do not know the gospel. And I want you to know the gospel before I leave here today. So Hebrews 9, verse number 11 says that, but Christ came as a high priest. That's the great one that makes our intercession with God. We are not able, we are not capable of approaching God ourselves. As we approach God, it has to be in and through by the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is a high priest of the good things to come. His blood, his righteousness, his kingdom. And with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, everything in the Old Testament was types and shadows to point us to Jesus Christ now. Whether it be the law, whether it be the Sabbath, whether it be the feast days, whether it be the tithe, everything pointed to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the substance of good things to come. This tabernacle is not made with hands. It's his body. That's to say, it's not of this creation. And since the tabernacle, as to where I worship God, as to where I meet with God, is not made with human hands, neither is the sacrifice or the offering. When Moses offered up animal sacrifices, it was to point to our Lord Jesus Christ. When he built that tabernacle, it was to point to Jesus Christ. It had the Ark of the Covenant, it was to point to Jesus Christ. You got it. Everything pointed to Jesus Christ and gave glory unto that great person. He is the King. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one that's coming back. He is God Almighty himself. He is our Redeemer. He is our Mediator. He is our God whom we worship. And so it's not with the blood of goats and calves. I see a lot of animals here, but not one of them can take away our sin. It was all typical. It was all type. It was all pointing unto Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed. But with his own blood, and let's see what he did. He, our Lord Jesus Christ, entered the most holy place that's in heaven. That's at the right hand of God. That's where he sat down. And he entered once for all times. Not for all people. Once for all time's sake, because his work was finished. He accomplished what God Almighty he gave him to do. He came here in the flesh, my brothers and my sisters, to finish the work that God did. He said, no, please. He said, before he went to the cross, in his high priestly prayer, I'm from John 17. I see you listening and taking notes. You stick to it. You tune in. He said, Father, I have finished the work that you gave me. He was praying by prophecy. He was praying by knowing the outcome, because he always walked by faith. Now, I don't know the future except for what's in that book and my intuition. Nobody else does either, sister. Have you figured that out yet? Our brother James in chapter 4 says, do not say that tomorrow I'm going to go into the city and buy this. If our brother James said it is better for you to say, if God would. If these prophets who decree such blessings, if they would just slow down and say, if God will, your business will prosper, you will marry, you will have children, and you will be healthy and sick. It wouldn't be so bad. It would be factual. But to proclaim the future, that I don't know what's going to happen, is sin. And to promise it unto you, my sister, is sin. But when Jesus Christ says in John chapter 17, I have finished of the work you gave me to do, it's not sin. Because he knows his God shall not fail. He knows he shall not fail. And he knows that the work that God gave him to do is going to be accomplished. Now, what was that work which God gave him to do? Have you heard of the elect? Have you heard of the sheep that hear his voice and they follow him? These were given to God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by God the Father from everlasting eternity. It's for this purpose that he made this world. It's to show two things: his wrath and his mercy. Would you open in Romans 9, verse number 22, verse number 2. The reason God made this world is to show his wrath and his mercy. His wrath and his love, the elect, which the Father gave to him. And so would you read that, please? It's Romans 9 and verse number 22 to verse number 23.
And after you, you let me know the reason of your mind. What is God going to show his reason and to make his power? Look, you're going to be much. What's going on? the beginning of the week, preparing for destruction. And that we may make known the riches of the Lord and the peace of the nations.
Scripture verse is saying that the Almighty God, He has two kinds of people. He's got a vessel of wrath prepared for destruction that He's going to show His power and His wrath. These are the rebels who do not obtain mercy and salvation. And they are pictured by Esau. And by Pharaoh, and by everybody that's in heaven. But there's another type of people who have been chosen out of that group of people because of our Lord Jesus Christ and the good pleasure of God. And He has chosen to prepare for them not everlasting damnation, but salvation through and by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because of Him these people are going to be saved from the wrath of God. But you see, salvation is not something that God stretched together in the ground and said. Salvation is what God prepared and what God planned from before the foundation of the world. So everything happens according to God's purpose. All trains are on track, on schedule. In the UK, on their train system, it's like this British Army. Orderly by time. They start on time. If you show up 5 minutes early, you're late. But in God's wisdom, in His salvation, everything is happening exactly as God prepared and planned from the foundation of the world. All the way down to meeting you and your finger on your temple and thoughts in your brain right now. Everything is happening according to God's plan. But to deliver us and to ransom us back from sin and Satan and to bring us back and out of the kingdom of the devil, our Lord Jesus Christ had to come and die and shed His precious blood to pay God for our sinfulness. He had to satisfy justice and judgment because God cannot forgive sin without atonement, without the shedding of blood. There's no remission of sins. So to deliver us from the curse and bring us into the blessings that He had prepared that we were going to walk in, He had to give His Son to the cross and spare Him not. He spared Him not wrath. He spared Him not the anger. He spared Him not the curse of the Almighty God. And He poured upon Him His anger and His justice. He unfolded Himself in glory as a holy God by not forgiving our sins without the shedding of blood. That's why Jesus Christ came in that. And He fulfilled it, and then God raised Him from the dead. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. He did everything the Father made him do. He was a man of the grace. It wasn't our faith that raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead because God the Father said, I'm satisfied with what he's done to put away sin. That man has honored me. That's why it's called the obedient one, the righteous one. And it's by the obedience of only one person that me and you are made righteous in the sight of God. It was all on him. It was all on that one man. When David stood in front of Goliath, it's the book is called, it's called Five Smooth Stones. And part of the reason is that David overcame Goliath not by his own strength, but by the wisdom and the strength of God. But the main reason that David stood in front of Goliath is Goliath said this, you give me one man and I will fight him of death, of sin, of Satan. And if I defeat this one man, all of Israel is mine. And if this one man, if he beats me, all of us are yours. And you know what happened in that story. David has a picture of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He took that sin in his stone. He took the wisdom of God with his weakness and submission to the cross. He walked by faith as a man and he died. And by death, by his submitting to the wrath of God, and not murmuring or complaining, but obeying to the death. By that sacrifice,
I can preach without microphone. Is that problem?
Okay. By that man's sacrifice, that one act of obedience unto death, sin
and Satan, he was dead.
You understand what I'm saying? He killed death by dying. By taking our death to himself, he's able to come to me and you and say, you need to go free. Because the debt is paid and I'm satisfied. That's the Jubilee of Leviticus 26. It's a very foolish man. Is it Abuja or Asaba? I don't know where the story is from. And he went and he got himself
a little rabbit for
him. And he's running around blasting his horn by proclaiming blessings that never come to pass. He's a phony and a fake. Now have mercy on his soul. But when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, all of heaven said, it's finished. And now in the preaching of the gospel, for sins I need to be set free. I'm forgiven. And I know it in my heart and in my bones. I'm set free from the wrath of God. Free from judgment. Free from condemnation. Because Christ has died. And he'll never put it on my back again. He'll never make us answer all for what Jesus did on the cross. It was successful. That word success and satisfaction is joined with the word substitution. Substitution is the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. And satisfaction is what he accomplished when he did it. He saved God's people himself. He did not fail. He did not waver. He did not fall down. He did not sin. And even though me and you filthy sinners, filthy, he forgives us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He
gives us freedom. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And there's no other work whereby me and you have got to be saved. No more effort or muscle. All of our striving and struggling is a gift from God our Savior. It's not what I do to add unto Jesus to save myself. It's what He gives me because of the blood of Christ. Repentance is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God unto the elect for Jesus Christ. You hear me? You hear me? I'm telling you the truth, though. Hear me inside your heart. Don't you back down off this. Don't you go anywhere. And my brothers, my sisters, don't you let any man take this from you. You believe it. No matter what they do to you, no matter what they tell you, no matter what they take away, you believe this to you. You understand? Don't let it slip through. This is serious business. This is the only way to please and meet God. This is salvation. He entered the most holy place once for all times. Look what it says. Having obtained eternal redemption. That means you have obtained. Is it yours? Do you have it? Is it in your possession? Our Lord Jesus Christ went back up to God the Father with His own precious blood and took the book and got our eternal redemption. That's why salvation's in His hands. It's not in the devil's hands. If the devil holds you captive as long as he can, until a stronger one than he breaks you loose and sets you free, it's in the hands of the Almighty Son of God. And nobody else has hands at all. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained. And my brother, this is how I learned the gospel. I thought it was what he did and what I do that makes what he did to be complete. I thought, ever so foolish, that what he did was not, it was dependent still on me. Me. Puny, feeble, sinful mortal. God Almighty has not left our salvation in the hand of a sinner. That precious stuff that was in your storage, all your jewels. Would you leave that in the hands of a thief? How is God Almighty going to leave somebody he loves into the hands of the devil and say, you get out. You work it out. You figure it out, okay? I'm just going to stand here on the side and wait helplessly. Does that sound like God? You wouldn't even do your own children like that, would you? And if we being evil, oh, I give good gifts, how much more shall my Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit? And that's what He does. He gives the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel and says, come and unlock them and set the captives free, and they hear the blasting of the trumpet, and they walk out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and give your son. And they say, I'm free!
But the high priest is the mediator of the better covenant. I'm not under law, I'm under grace. And the more you preach Christ, the more I want to serve and obey God. Because that's how the Spirit works. That's how it happens.
And so let's keep going. Did you understand me so far? It's a riddle, though. It's a mystery. Only people who have been chosen by God can understand it in a way that it brings lasting joy into their heart. That's the gospel. Verse number 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, he's saying that all of the Old Testament types and shadows were pictures of Jesus Christ. How much more? If in the old covenant, I was clean as a priest by the offering of an animal sacrifice, how much more shall the blood of Christ? And look at the value of that person as the Son of God. When you understand his value, his valuableness, then you will get the gospel even more so. And it's over and over and over that we see him more clearly and more precious, who through the eternal Spirit, as eternal God, he died upon the cross, but he died upon the cross as a man upheld by the Holy Spirit in perfect obedience.
Is you see, man had to die because man said, I could not go back to God in the wisdom of God, in the holiness of God, in the justice of God, in the plan of God, unless a man came down here and obeyed him. He said, a body have I prepared for you. And the Lord Jesus said, lo, I come. It is written in the volume of the book, I. Jesus Christ. And he, by the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot unto God, without failure, without any sin, or without any blemish on his part. The almighty eye of God looked at the insides of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he defied no sin, even while he died for us and was suffering the everlasting wrath of the Father. He loved God the Father while he was bearing hell for many, many, many people. You talk about not hurting. What do you want to add to that? There's not one thing to add to that perfection. How much more shall his blood actually purge our conscience from bitterness? From bitterness to serve the living God. What is a dead word? Listen to me. It is anything we do to make ourselves that much righteous with God. If I do anything
if I preach, if I become a missionary, if I study, if I die, in order to be one drop more righteous in the sight of God. The Almighty God says, that's a dead word, and I have nothing to do with it. It does not honor my son. You hear me? A good work is what I do because I'm redeemed and I'm perfect and I'm accepted already. Open to the book, please, of 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, 8, 9, and 10. After turning, I want to repeat myself. And I want all you children to be able to answer. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7 through 10. A bad work is anything that me and you do to make us to be righteous with God. A good work is what me and you do because we are already righteous. That's the reason I'm a missionary. It's because people gave it. It's not to be forgiven. Who's going to read those?
And so what cleanses us from every sin? Is it our hard work? Is it our tears? Is it our fasting? Is it our praying? Is it our trying hard? Is it our promising, Lord, I swear I won't ever do it again? No, no, no. What's the verse say? It's the blood.
Where we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus is soft to the cry of everything.
You heard it? The blood of Jesus Christ is soft. So you can fast if you want to fast, but don't add nothing to the blood. I am fasting in order to see his blood on the earth. I'm fasting, oh Father, speak to me by the blood. I'm fasting because I have my doubt of the blood because of all my sin. I'm fasting, Father, through the blood of Christ that you hear me in all my difficulty. But I'm fasting not to add anything to what Christ has done. What he's done for God and for us. You hear me? Let's keep going.
People say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves.
Hold up, now. I love you preaching. What happens if I say, Lord, I have poured out my heart and I haven't sinned? What happens? What's the verse say? I deceive myself. What happens, Pastor? If I take the best thing I've ever done, oh, my tears of joy, oh, my family loves, oh, my sacrifice, if I take the best thing I've ever done and hold it up to God and say, I have not sinned, accept me because of this and Jesus Christ, what does he say? You deceive yourself. You understand that? You're only fooling you, oh. You do not fool God. Because God looks, and if he sees any sin at all, if thought, word, or deed, it is not accepted. He's holy, though. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
But if you come to Him through the blood of Christ, even my sins are forgiven, and I'm accepted, and everything I do by faith in His blood is accepted by God. Because He sees, He loves Christ. He's looking at Christ. He's got Christ as a mediator. He's got Christ standing as a great high priest. He's got Christ as His advocate with the Father. If any man sin, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sin. He's the atonement. Brother, I come unto God in prayer. I pray. I can come to God in prayer. The biggest sinner on planet Earth through Jesus Christ. You can be received by God just like this poor missionary, just like Mary, just like Peter, and just like Paul through faith in Jesus. That's the brother, that's good news. Oh, that's freedom of burden. That's acceptance. We've been trying so hard to get acceptance and we don't really have it. It's Christ at God. And our faith is in the Son. It's not in ourselves at all. This is the last one.
And there is no tracking
note. It's fine, you can read it.
Verse 9. But if we confess our sins to God, He will keep His promises and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us all of our wrongdoing.
Verse number 10, you can say it.
We make God out to be a liar, and His word is not in us.
And so we got two options. I can stand in the presence of God through the precious blood of Christ all by myself, or I can live with God. It's the blood of Christ for I'm rejected and filthy sinner.
But through the blood of Christ, the filthy sinner is accepted and made whole.
He is forgiven and cleansed. That's my character. That's my love.
Here's the last point. I'm from Hebrews 9. Now, this last point, hear me now, is exceedingly important.
If you get this last point, I think that you will get the gospel in a major way. But if you miss this last point, everything I've said already can be used against you in a court of law. Listen carefully.
Verse number 15. And for this reason, is the mediator of the new covenant. That's what I've been talking about. That's what I've been preaching. Our consciences have been purged from dead works to serve the living God, to honor Him, to love Him, to serve Him, and to obey Him, and to love Him. And it's for this reason the Lord Jesus is the mediator, is the one that brings into ratification this new covenant. He is the one that unlocks this new covenant of blessing by the means of death. That's the only way that these blessings and these promises and these curses would be removed from us. for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, the old covenant, the law of Moses, and the Ten Commandments. And here's the second thing. There are two things here that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. This is my last point, though.
It's the blood of Christ has done. Anybody see them in the text? What are the two things the precious blood of Christ has done for us in Hebrews 9, verse number 15? Can anybody tell me one of them?
By the reason of his blood, he has arranged a new covenant for us to be set free from sin.
That's
our redemption.
Yes. It's, did you answer it well? Did you answer it also? But in verse 15, he set us free from the old by the means of death. That's where all of our sins were held in the court of law. But the second thing he did was he paid for, he earned, he purchased by that same death, by that same blood, all of the blessings of the new covenant. Every single blessing that God has to give was already given to us in, through, and by our Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing to earn at all. Have you ever paid for something twice? Did you buy it, but you lost it? Or you paid for it, and we're going to come pick it up later, and you lost that receipt? Isn't that frustrating? Don't you hate doing that? That's what we need to do. But it's not the Jesus Christ. He paid for it in such a way that that one-time payment is going to last forever. Oh, thank the Lord. My sin is gone. And my blessings are paid for. But here is what's important about it. What are the blessings? Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. This will be our last trick of this. What are the blessings? And as you turn there, let me ask you a few questions. Are the blessings money? Are the blessings a visa to the U.S.? Did you know that part of my blessings is a visa into Africa and into Nigeria so I can serve your soul? Is the blessing money? Then, why on earth is Paul so poor and homeless? Why does Peter say he doesn't have any silver or gold, but what he has is the name of Jesus Christ? Are the blessings enough? Then why on earth is everybody dying for 2,000 years?
It's the blessing that I won't get sick.
Then why do Christians get sick?
If Matthias was sick and he served the church and he labored in prayer until the point of near death. Is the blessing that I have no more trouble? Then why on earth is Paul bad? Being little with lashes and the blood dripping out. And they pick up stones and stone him until they make me dead.
Why? Because they've been promising you blessings that are not real.
If you want to be healthy, be born in Switzerland. Excellent medical care, almost for free. And they live old.
Born here, and you listen to a fake prophet, you get sick, and you won't even take the medicine, and you die.
What does Ephesians chapter 1? We got to think, that you got to open our eyes. Don't just believe something because you hear it, and some men of God say, and read it. Who ever got rich in the New Testament? Name one person. One person. Name one. The rich people in Acts, they gave the money until the poor. They couldn't stand to see their brothers suffering and gave for what they had. That's the blessing. Not to multiply gold unto myself. Brother Gaius, he was rich, but the scripture doesn't say he was made rich by coming unto Christ. It said he used his riches to serve the kingdom. Who is supposed to receive of the money in the New Testament? Yes, preacher, preach. If I study, I preach. To be paid, and the old widow ain't got no husband who hasn't been faithful. We give under her too. It's us. And you know who else we give to? If your parents, if they love God and they die, we support the orphans. That's where the money goes on. The prophet is not a man to take. He's a man to give his life for Jesus Christ and your everlasting soul. He wants you saved, not your money. We are so greedy, we are so covetous, because our pastors teach us so. Terrible. You hear me? Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. What's the scripture? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and your servant, who has blessed us with what?
In heaven, places in Christ. In heaven, places in Christ.
All what? All spiritual blessings? In the heavenlies, we talk about service things that cannot be seen, but are ascertained by faith alone. The blessing of the gospel, the blessing of the new covenant, is a right relationship with God. It's to be saved from His wrath. It's to be made holy. It's to be predestined. It's to be elected. It's to be redeemed. It's to be in the new covenant. It's to have God as your God. It's to be holy, forgiven and set free from the dominion of sin and happy on the inside. It is a lie that tells us I'll be content after I get something else. Christ plus nothing equals. your life kind of learning that.
All that I had to learn was to be content. So whether I'm eating good or hungry, I'm sleeping on a nice bed or an old prison floor, I have learned whatever state I'm in to be content. I can do everything through Jesus Christ, which is
I can be up by 6:30 and still plead on Jesus Christ and not let him go. And I can be down and tell him, thank you. Thank you, Father, for being with me right here. People pray that I don't have any trouble. And in measure, I also pray, Lord, spare me. Have mercy. Do what you intend to do. But trouble might be the best thing I need to bring other people to Christ. That's what Paul did with his sufferings. He made him preach better. And for me to die, everybody said, oh, I hope you don't die. I hope I die quick. But I might be able to do more for Nigeria with my head chopped off.
And so be it. If that is the will of God.
And let them come and preach because God opened the door and made them unafraid to preach Christ, even in the Lord. That's the blessing. And to love another human being is the blessing. To really be forgiven, though, not just talk about it, but be it. That's the blessing. To love God. That's the blessing, though. That's it. What happened to us, Pastor? We preached it many years ago in Nigeria. I've seen the creeds. What happened? It's gone. It didn't stop. There's no covetousness. You have to. It's greed. And they use people and they sleep with the girls day and night. It's an abomination because people do not know God at all. What they would never do is that. Well, you know the gospel is fixed. You can't be put in fear. You can't be terrible. And you can't be persuaded to serve your flesh and your love. And you love the priest God. And you love the gospel. And you are in the back of it. That's the
covenant blessing. He died to give us spiritual.
And it may include a brand new car,
serve this church, and be happy, and be satisfied.
And it may include my car being taken away, so I can walk and meditate on God, and tell other people you can be happy without transportation. It's up to God. And who is better to rule our future? Father, that's what we call him. That's what he is. He is all wise. He's faithful. He's loving. He's kind. And happy.
And to come with peace, we are content. That's the blessing.
I guarantee you. If a group of people in Nigeria ever got and started talking about spiritual things that can't be seen, other people would pay attention. It would be so beautiful. Wouldn't it be different?
I go to a church talking about redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins and love towards each other by the gospel. Amen.
Thank you, sir.